to this place of captivity that's going to happen. Remember, this is the last warning. The book of Hosea is the last warning given to the children of Israel before they were going to go into this captivity, and they were given this warning, but was holding them back to listen to God and to repent and to turn back to them is they were still glued to their lovers, that which they were committing spiritual adultery with God. What holds us back tonight? Ourselves and our lovers. What is our lovers? Our lovers are things that we put before God. Those are the idols. Those are the things that we put before our God in our relationship with Him. It's those things, and this is what is taking place. Then we see this. She says, I'm stuck with my relationship with my lovers. This is what's important to me because they've given me so much. Remember, we talked about how our minds can be clouded by sin. Her mind was clouded by sin because she thought her lovers gave her those things. No, the trade agreement gave Israel those things. That what Hosea gave her those things. It was not the lovers. We look at our lives and say, well, because I love the world and because I'm doing this, it's giving me my wealth, it's giving me my house, it's giving me... No. God's the one that gives you those things. Don't us be mistaken like Israel and like she was. Now let's go on to verse number 6. This is where we're gonna finish verse 6 today. We're going to get in verse 6 and we're going to finish verse 6. It says, therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns and make a wall that she shall not find her path. Now, God's love is a faithful love, but God's love is a tough love. God's love, if needed, has discipline involved. How many of you have ever had tough love given to you? How many of you have ever had to give tough love to somebody else? What do we mean by tough love? What is that talking about? Someone want to give an example? Okay, inflict punishment to get the point across. Someone want to give a personal example, no, you don't have to, of when tough love was given to you because you're hard-headed and you had to have that tough love given to you. There's many examples of this tough love, but tough love is this. You love them, but you're not going to put up with where they're at. Tough love has this idea, you love them with all that you have, but you're going to have some discipline. You're going to have some correction given to them to bring them back. Many times we say we love someone, but we don't want to be tough on them. We don't want to discipline them. Well, that's not true love. Because true love wants them to what? To come back. If we just say, well, we love you. We're going to let you do whatever you want to do. That's not going to help them. What did Israel need at this point? They need to be smacked. They needed the tough love, right? They needed the tough love that was given to them. How many times do we need a 2x4 against the head in our lives to get a hold of us? How many, you know, God's tried to gently get our attention at times with things, and we don't get it. We don't get it at first. And then all of a sudden, something bigger comes, and we still don't get it. And all of a sudden, man, we're hit with that 2x4, and we finally wake up, and that tough love is given. Many times in our lives, it takes a little bit to get our attention. Now, if you look at this verse here, verse 6, it starts off with the word therefore. Therefore is used several times, 3 times in this chapter, that shows that what God will do if we don't repent. If we don't repent, introduces a tough love of our Lord. He says, okay, your mother's played the role of the harlot. This has happened, that happened. Therefore, because of this, this is what's going to happen. You ever done that with your kids? Here's all of your offenses that you've done. And therefore, because, Roy, what you've done, this is the action that's going to be given to you. This is the discipline. Nathaniel, I know you went through that. This is the discipline. This is what is going to come, and this is what's going to happen to you in your life. Therefore, because you have not repented, there's consequences to come. Now let's look at what takes place here, because we introduced to some things as we look at this, say, okay, what does this mean? What is this talking about? We start to see this picture here of this God's discipline on faithful Israel. He says this, I will hedge up thy way with thorns. What does that mean? Anyone know what the word hedge up means? Now, I know this isn't our typical language today. We don't use this, but... Okay, to block or what? To keep from? Yes, very good. To create an obstacle, obstruction? Very good. Therefore, because you haven't done this, therefore you played the role of the harlot, therefore you've done these things, I will create a time, a place for you to repent, because I'm going to put up a hedge, but a hedge of what? Of thorns. How many love thorns? How many love roses? But how many like the thorns on the roses? Now, when we were in Israel, Brother Dick, do you remember we went and they took us to one of the trees that had the thorns on it, that they believe the crown of thorns would have been placed on the Lord's head, and they were very sharp, and they said, be very careful, you can kind of touch it. But some of us that are a little more on the curious side of life took that thing and kind of jabbed a little bit. It will go deep really quick. It hurts. And then after you're done, your hand kind of swelled up a little bit. But I wouldn't know from experience or someone else that did those things, because I would never do anything like that. Yeah. But thorns hurt. And what does it say here? He's going to create some obstacles. He's going to create some obstructions in their pathway of thorns. Thorns represents hurt or discipline. What is he doing here? He's going to create something to try to block them and to keep them. He will keep Israel's lovers from her by blocking her path. He was to use the obstacles to wall her in. Now, this is a continued action. This is something that's going to continue to take place, continue to happen. I will hedge up thy way with thorns, make a wall, that she will not find her path. So talking in regards to Gomer, what is this talking about? Anyone? He's gonna stop what? She's not gonna find the way to her lovers. Her lovers aren't gonna find a way to her, because there's gonna be the obstacles, and God's gonna put stuff in her pathway that may be some forms of discipline to keep her from doing wrong. How does this apply to Israel? He did the same thing. How did he do the same thing? Because they were going to be in captivity, and captivity kept them from their lovers. Let me ask you this. How does God do this in our lives? Okay, sometimes he takes away things that we think we can't live without, that we think are so important in our lives. What does he use these roadblocks to do in our lives? Teach us? To keep us? To rely upon him? What else? How about to get our attention? As their focus is on the wrong things, sometimes their focus has to be changed. Let me ask you, besides a 2x4 against our head, how can our focus be changed? How does God change our focus? Put it back by him. Someone mentioned it, by taking away things. How many, you don't have to raise your hand, but think about it. How many of us have had something that we treasured or love, and that itself may not be bad or wrong, but it was taken from us? Do you know why sometimes that happens? To get our focus back on him. To get us thinking back on Christ and thinking on him on those things. Go ahead and turn to Proverbs chapter 22. I want us to look at some things tonight. Proverbs chapter 22. Thorns and sneers, in verse 5, thorns and snares are in the way of the forward. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. What does that mean? Look at that verse. What does that mean? Thorns and snares are in the way of the forward. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. Okay? If you're doing wrong, you're going to have the thorns that you're going to go against. If you're doing right, you're not going to have to worry about those thorns. All right? Good? Anyone else? Any other thought? If you fall after God, God will protect you. See, when you're not falling after God, He is there to discipline you, to bring you back to Him, and He will allow things in your life to get your attention. But when you are doing right, He's there to protect you from the thorns and from the enemy in our lives. You ever notice something? Brother Dick, let me ask you a question. You're old. You've been around a long time. Have you ever noticed something? Certain things, when you're right with God, last a lot longer in life than when you're not right with God? Is that true or false? It's true. You ever notice that? How sometimes things happen differently when you're walking with God? Now, I'm not saying every time, because God uses us to mold us and make us. I understand all that. But there's some truth to that. And God protects us from some things. Some of the things you and I go through is because we're dumb and we haven't repented of it and we haven't gotten it right. And the reason we're going through it is God keeps trying to get our attention with the thorns. When we're listening to God, He protects us from those things. Go to Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 7. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse number 7. Marvin, if you have that, could you read that for us? Lamentations 3:7. Someone have that already? Go ahead. Okay, read that a little louder and read verse 9 too. Okay, so what does it say? He's enclosed him in. He's put the chains upon him. He made his way hard. What is this saying here? Yeah, why would God do this? I thought God's a God of love. I thought God is a kind God and a loving God. Why would He put us in a place where we can't get out and we feel like we have chains upon us? Okay. Discipline us. Teach us. Just really wants to bring us back is the key to keep us from keep going further away. What happens when you have a chain on you? You can get, someone said something. You can't move very fast. You still can try to go that direction, but you have something trying to pull you back a little bit. How many ever walked a dog before? And you have a leash. And on that, the old leashes, it was just basically a rope or a chain. And you would go. And the dog, you pretty much had control of the dog. But how many have these new fingle leashes that has a button on it and it can go woo way out? Anybody have one of those leashes that you were using one of those and it decided to let go on its own and the leash just went woo? And you didn't push the button, and the dog is just, boom, gone. and you've got 50 feet and you're trying to pull this dog back. But what can you do eventually? You start to wheel it back in. Because you got to get control of your dog so your dog doesn't do something that he gets in trouble and you get in trouble for. You got to bring that dog back in. What a picture in our lives. How many times have we started going the wrong way and God's trying to pull us back and we're fighting against it? Those that have tried to wheel a dog back in, does a dog always want to come back in? It keeps fighting. But what usually happens? Who usually wins? Most cases, not all cases, but who usually wins? Hopefully you, right? But in the case of God, who always wins? God always wins. And he can bring us back to him. Go ahead and go to Job chapter 33 and look at verses 14 and 17. Job chapter 33. And look at verse 14 through verse 17. For God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth not. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men and slumbering upon the bed, then he opened the ears of men and sealeth their instruction, that he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man. What is this telling us? For God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth not. How many times have you told your kids the same thing and they don't get it? You've told them over and over and over again. Lewis, have you ever had to do that? And you sit back and you go, wait a second. How is this possible? I've told them this. Will, did your mom? You don't have to admit it. But you over and over again, you've told them something, but they don't get it. Now, Tony, we know that's not true in your life. The first time your mom told you, you got it right away every time, right? What's that? For sure. Lying lips are an abomination unto the Lord. Just remember that. But how many times we don't get it the first time? We've been told something, and we don't get it. And Israel was told something over and over again, yet they didn't get it. What does it take to get your attention to my attention? Anyone? What's some things it takes to get a hold of us that we get it? Now, you find out sometimes what it takes to get a hold of your kids' attention, right? Brother Dick, you found out what it took to get your kids' attentions at times, right? Each kid is different. Have you noticed that? Certain kids' form of discipline works. Certain kids taking away certain things work better. Some kids, you just string them up by their ears and that works. All right? You find different ways to get their attention. God finds certain ways to get our attention. Because what works for Marvin doesn't always work for me. What works for me certainly doesn't work for Lisa. I mean, some people are just more stubborn than others, and it takes a little more. I tell you, what works for Lisa certainly does not work for Lewis. Lewis is one of the most stubborn people I've ever met in my life. Just ask his wife. She's in another room. Am I right? All right. See, she's not even out here to agree with me. Your heritage. But what works for me might not work for you. What gets a hold of your attention may be different what gets hold of my attention. But what it does is this. God's going to do certain things in your life and my life to get our attention. This shows God's love, that he cares about each of us, because God's going to do things that we need in our lives to get a hold of us. We sometimes sit back and go, well, why did this happen in my life and that didn't happen in this person's life? Because they're doing worse than I am, and they're not as godly as I am, and they're doing this and that, and I got, Because God knows what it takes to get a hold of them, and he knows what it takes to get a hold of you. Now, with my kids, I have one that I can look at and he will cry. I have another one that was like me. He can have all the discipline in the world and he still is pretty stubborn. I have others that are in between both of those. And what I have to do for one is different than what I have to do for the other. That is the same in our spiritual life. Go to Job chapter 19 and look at verse 8. Job chapter 19 and verse number 8. He hath fenced up my way that I cannot pass, and he has set darkness in my path. What was he doing? He was creating once again ways to get him back and get his attention in that as well. Psalms 88 verse 8. Psalms 88 verse 8. Thou hast put away my acquaintances far from me. Thou hast made me an abomination unto them. I am shut up and I cannot come forth. What is this saying? Similar to some other things we talked about, but what is this saying here? Talking about the hedge again. Creating a hedge. What has happened? Okay. He's put away those acquaintances, made them an abomination to him. He's shut them up. He's closed. What he is, he's changed some of the lovers that he thought he loved, that he thought was important to him. He changed that because they're not important. How many remember that you thought some people you grew up with were the most important things? How many try, you don't have to admit this, but you try to fit in with the popular crowd back when you were in high school? And you remember how important, and oh man, you want to have all these friends and all these people, and you want everyone to like you. And now, you don't really care about any of them, do you? You don't even remember their names. If you saw them, and you ever notice the popular ones now don't look anything like they looked back then, all right? And now you see them, you wouldn't even recognize them. You don't even know who they, because it gets changed. And that's part of the way God puts a hedge. Because God wants you to not focus on what you think you need or what you think was important. But he changes that in your life. Go to Psalms 119, verse 67. Psalms 119, verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept thy word. The affliction brought him back to where he kept the word. Before the affliction, he did what he wanted to do. Before discipline, we're going our own ways. Once discipline comes in, it brings us back. Now, I'll be right back. I'm going to grab something here. Nathaniel, can you come up here for a minute? Now I have something here. This is a shepherd's staff. And what you do with this is, you can fight off the enemies that come and try to take your sheep, but sometimes some sheep try to get astray. So when a sheep tries to get astray, what the shepherd would do is take this, and a lot of times they would try to grab a leg and take out the leg to bring the sheep back. So go ahead, slowly try to get it away. No, I'm not going to do this to you. But sometimes there's things that we need to grab our attention, to bring us back, and to get us where we need to go. When affliction comes, it turns us back to him. I could have used you, Tony. So just be grateful. Go to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 11. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 11. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yieldeth the peaceful fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. How many like discipline when you got disciplined as a kid? How many now are glad you got disciplined when you were a kid? How many are glad your parents cared enough to not let you do certain things in your life? Because it saved you from a lot of stuff. Now here's the thought. God has done things and disciplined us. It might not seem joyous at the time, but it is for our good. Because through it, the fruit is produced in our lives. And what's happening in chapter 2 is tough love is coming. Tough love is happening. Therefore, because of this, I'm going to put tough love into place. And the whole purpose of tough love is to bring Israel back, to bring Gomer back, to bring us back. God sends tough love into our lives because he wants us to have a right relationship with him. Anybody have anything else you'd like to add or say tonight before we move into time of prayer? Anybody want to take this home to use on their kids or grandkids? Or husbands, all right. This is longer than a regular cane, though. See, I could actually come right here and right by the neck. All right. Any other prayer requests?